I'm thinking we all know who Lana Mock is now, don't we? That was great. Thank you. It's been fun for me to see and listen to these women. Shelby, this was the first time Shelby's heard Nancy. Can you believe that? We've been raised in this congregation, and Shelby has never heard Nancy. So getting to hear new voices and see people's hearts and faith and be encouraged by one another, it's just such a good and powerful thing. We've had a great day, a great evening last night, and we've talked about women who love Jesus, women who needed Jesus, women of promise, and we're going to complete our study today by talking about women of faith. So what is faith? We could do a whole weekend on that, couldn't we? In your first page of my section, the Women of Faith, there is a little fill-in-the-blank page with a very limited number of verses to help us kind of put a little meaning to what faith is. Work with your people in your pew or around you, and I've given you some cues. The first letter of the word that should go in the blank is there. And don't fear, because we will also flash this up on the screen in a little bit. But when you're reading these verses, just look at it after the fill in the blank, okay? Because there's a lot of really, really, I started going through and it was Hebrews 11:1, and then it was 11:2. Oh, don't forget 3, And so there's just so much there. Just read the verses, fill in the blanks. I'll give you 5 minutes. It's pretty easy. And if you think of one I didn't write down, there's a major one I didn't even write down. Do you see it? Oh. I'm thinking it was a New American Standard or Holman Christian, or it could have been ESV. And so if you have the NIV, the words are different. So ask somebody that's sitting next to you, or I'll give you the answers. But, when you use those different versions, it's kind of neat because you kind of get a better meaning. You can go, condemnation, punishment. So it kind of is good when you have a different version. Oh, yeah, that one at the very bottom on the, where did it go? The answer, James 2:20. The letter that is your Q is a U. It's kind of hard to see because of the beautiful design that we got on our notebooks this time. Thank you, Jennifer Wooster. James 2:20, the first letter is a U. I really think y'all should take read the whole chapter of chapter 11. You could just make a list of all the things that faith gives us. Understanding. Oops, that was an answer. Okay. The Hebrews verses are now going to be up on the screen, and you can check your answers so far. And like I said, if you've got a different... Yeah. Hebrews. Well, the reason is it's because gained and received are two different verses. So in one version it says they gained approval, and the other one they say they received what? What? Commended for? It could have been the version by Kay Lynn, who was mixing 3 or 4 together when I was reading it. Oh, yeah. Huh. Sorry, that's a typo. I don't know. I'll go look. In my recopying, I may have made a mistake. Or I did make a mistake. That's okay. It's getting you guys in the Bible. Find it for me, Paula. Yeah, it is. Mine is in 11:2. For by it the men of old gained approval. Hebrews 11:2. By it. The first verse says, now faith is the assurance. See, Jill, I should have gotten to read them. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, that's going to be modifying faith. Okay? Men of old gained approval. I was just trying to get you to see what faith can do. Well, y'all are in a heathenistic Bible. New American Standard. Somebody help me out here. New American Standard. Okay. No, I'm telling them, that's two different versions. Some versions say they gained approval. Somebody read it for me out of NIV. They were commended for ancients being old people, okay? Oh. They've lived well. I was giving you choices of words because some versions had different words. Some versions say they received commendation. Okay, so I was trying to make it easy, and I made it confusing. No, Paula's still shaking her head no. Should have just let me read it. Okay, we got to go. Next bunch of them. James verses, put them up there. Faith is not just belief. I'm going. Hopefully you got this. There's a bunch of action words when we read the James verses. Testing of your faith brings endurance. Doing, be doers of the word, not hearers only. It's a working faith. And it might seem that James was repeating himself just to make a point. Well, hello. He was. And I think it was a pretty important point. Faith without works is dead. Yeah. So faith demands action. Demands it. Check out Galatians 5:6. And I love this verse so much that... when you want to know what a young person can do, they can do a take-home for a technology-challenged person. I had a young college friend make a take-home for you guys, and they're going to be handed out here shortly. Everybody take one. But it's from Galatians 5:6. Paul's been telling him circumcision, uncircumcised, that's not what's important. What matters is faith working through love. Loving God, loving others, faith working through love. Faith believes, belief works, God rewards. Faith is what we believe, working is what we do, and love demonstrates our attitude. And like I said, I want you to... put that in your Bible, put that on your mirror. That should be just a little, you know, faith working through love. That says it all. Our brain gets the information, our intellect receives the information, our heart understands it, and our will does it. It's so much more than just a perception. And here's my Romans 10:17. It's not on that list, but I want you to write it down, because if you're going, I'm one of those people with the little faith. I've got some unbelief. Well, where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh from hearing. And what are you going to hear? The word of God. Where are you going to get that today? Right here. You've got little faith. You're struggling with some unbelief. This is where you're going to get it built up. This is how you make it grow. Okay, so back to Luke. What do the women of Luke teach us about a living, working faith? Let's turn to Luke 8, 41 through 48, and see that the women of faith recognize that Jesus is the only answer to their struggles, and they seek him no matter what the obstacles. Okay, so 41 is that, it's a little, the beginning of this story is when they're in a crowd, okay? A man named Jairus came, and I am reading from New American Standard right now. Just then, a man named Jairus came. He was the leader of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and pleaded with him to come to his house. No, it's the Holman Christian, isn't it, Jill? I think so. Okay, whatever. Because he had an only daughter about 12 years old, and she was at death's door. While he was going, the crowds were nearly crushing him. And a woman, suffering from bleeding for 12 years, who had spent all she had on doctors yet could not be healed by any, approached him from behind and touched the tassel of his robe. And instantly, her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds are hemming you in and pressing upon you." "Someone did touch me," said Jesus. "I know that power has gone out from me." When the woman saw that she was discovered, she came trembling and fell down before him in the presence of all the people. She declared the reason that she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Okay, let's look at the obstacles that this woman had just to come and see Jesus. She had to overcome the fact, the very basic fact that Jill talked to us on Friday night, last night. She had to overcome being a woman. Back in that culture, women did not approach rabbis, and most rabbis didn't talk to women. Even if Jesus seemed to be a little more progressive, the crowd of people that were surrounding Jesus would not have been happy if this lady had come up to him directly. She did not come up to him face to face, but she recognized her need to come to him. She came to Jesus from behind, and she only touched the fringe, and here I go again with looking at all these different versions, the fringe, the tassel, the hem, a very small part of his garment, close to the ground, is what she touched. That's all she did, just the very bottom. But in addition to being a woman, another obstacle that she had to overcome was that she suffered from a purely feminine disease, and she was considered unclean in that culture. An issue of blood flowing from her body for 12 years. An issue of blood, hemorrhaging, some scriptures said. Under Jewish law, anything she touched would be unclean. No one would have anything to do with her. And we don't know, it doesn't record if she was married or if she had children, but if she did, she would have been separated from them. As far as there would not have been an intimate relationship with her husband. She wouldn't have been hugging her kids. She wouldn't have wanted to make them unclean. That's lonely. That's isolated. And even though she knew this, that anybody that came in contact with her would become unclean, she still came to see Jesus. She braved the crowd around Jesus just to touch the hem of his garment. So the disease made her unclean, but imagine the cost to her physical body. Just imagine, 1 week can do some of us in. 12 years. I'm thinking anemia, okay? And what are those symptoms? Easily fatigued, loss of energy, weakness, dizziness, headaches, shortness of breath, irregular heartbeat. She's not feeling so good. She's not feeling so good. She has been debilitated physically. And also, it says, it had cleaned out her finances. Luke says, she had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. And Mark, in chapter 5 of his book, chapter 5, starting in verse 24, he says, later down in there, that she had suffered, beloved. She had suffered many things from physicians. She had endured much under many doctors. She'd spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. This woman had sought any cure that any physician would treat her, anybody, but the disease progressed. It continued, and she continued to decline, and she got poorer. Every assistance man could offer without any success. Would you say she was desperate? She had no hope. She'd exhausted her finances. Her body was exhausted. Every man she turned to made her worse. Mark tells us, and I love this part, when she heard about Jesus, she acted. You know that Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing? Okay. Here was the answer. Jesus could heal her, no matter that she was a woman, no matter that she was unclean, no matter that she would make everyone and everything she came in contact with unclean, no matter that she was physically weak and bankrupt, no matter that she did not matter. We don't even know her name. But we know about her faith. She overcame all those obstacles. She came to Jesus to be made whole. She didn't need to see him face to face or speak to him. She knew he was the answer. Matthew's account in chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, and again in Mark, chapter 5, 24 through 34, and I love this part too. She heard about Jesus, and then she tells herself, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And she wasn't grabbing for the arm. She was crawling on the ground, reaching for a string. Wow, that's just a little bitty thing. Can't you just see a little kid trying to do that? And it was a big touch of faith, though. He felt that touch. He felt her touch of faith. Big faith. She was reaching out. She was taking a risk because she knew the outcome. She knew, I shall be made well. That's diligently seeking God as the answer to our problems. That's trusting. That's belief. That is a conviction in God and in his ability to reward those who diligently seek him. And she did. Faith believes. Belief works. God rewards. And so no matter what obstacles you think you're facing today, that you're not important, or you don't matter, you cannot be healed, remember this woman for God from Luke chapter 8. God can help you. God is the answer, and God does care. Let's be women of faith. We've all got the obstacles. We could make pages of lists of obstacles in our lives, our modern lives today. But there's some more important things to learn from this account. And I love this part too. When she touched Jesus and is immediately made well, Jesus feels the power leaving him, and he says, "Who touched me?" And it's just such a human response. You know, the apostles are saying, "Okay, seriously? Who touched you? We're in a crowd here." You know, Peter says, "Master, the multitudes are crowding and pressing around you." But Jesus knows. Her touch of faith was so big that even though it was the hem or the fringe or the string of the garment, he knew that the power had left him. It was a touch from a believer. He felt her touch. Mark records that Jesus looked around to see her who had done this thing. And what does this woman of faith do? She falls down trembling And she tells everyone. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And although our faith may many, many times and most of it be a very private thing between us and God, true faith proclaims to others what God has done for us and how he wants to have a relationship with others. True faith proclaims. She declared. She talked. Let's look at how that account with Jesus and this woman ends. She recounts to all the people what had happened and who was responsible for it. And Jesus says, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Faith is such a powerful thing. It made her reach out to Jesus. She received much more than she ever expected. The Lord blessed her and gave her peace. Her disease that had caused discord in her life for years and had separated her from friends and family. The disease that had caused suffering for her body and for her mental and spiritual well-being. Now she was restored. Now she had peace of mind. Now, she could put behind her the suffering of the disease. What causes discord in your life? We could make another page over there, couldn't we? What causes you to be separated from family and friends? What causes suffering to your mind, to your body or your soul? Spiritual suffering. What can make a difference in your life today? Faith is a powerful thing. Let's turn our attention to some other remarkable women in Luke. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, 36 through 38. This is when Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to the temple to present him to God and to offer a sacrifice for him. And while at the temple, they meet Anna. She was a prophetess of the tribe of Asher. Many in her day, and I think many in our day today, would look at Anna and feel sorry for her. She was well along in years. And that says it pretty, doesn't it? She had lived 84 years. She had married young, but after only 7 years of marriage, her husband died, and she was basically, we believe, to be all alone. We don't have a record that she had any children. So depending on when she married, she spent the last 60 to 70 years all alone. Would you feel sorry for her to have been alone for 60 or 70 years? You know, she could have spent the rest of her life looking for somebody to take care of her. In that male-oriented culture, she needed a male to take care of her. She could have despaired. She could have been depressed. But we don't get the impression that that's what she was, or that her life was filled with what ifs. You know, poor me. Nope. What did she do? We are told that she dedicated herself to God. She did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. No matter what position a woman of faith finds herself in, whether it's a situation that you dreamed of as a young girl, or whether life has thrown you a curve that you didn't plan on, the woman of faith realizes that God is the answer. With God, you're not alone. You will not despair. With God, you will find peace and happiness. So the response for a woman of faith is a continual worshiping of God, being thankful for whom God is and what he has done for us. You may wonder if you could spend 60 or 70 years worshiping God and waiting on him. Let's look at what Anna's reward was. Because of her devotion, she got to witness firsthand the coming of the Messiah. And not only did she see the Christ child, she also told others in the temple about the Christ. And thanks to God and Luke, she witnesses to us today. She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who look for redemption in Jerusalem. And, you know, I think about this when you were talking about Bubba telling you were polishing yours, and Nancy told you it was just stewing. Well, you know, last night I'm in the bed and I'm like rewriting it. I've got another thought. I need to somehow get this in there. And here it is. Anna was waiting for the promise. Anna was waiting for the promise, and she received the promise of seeing Christ. And she didn't just hold it tightly, she declared it. And I think of the song, "For You Have Promised," and we're not going to sing it, but I want you to listen to that chorus. And I've been known to break out into "This Little Light of Mine," or "Oh, Fill My Cup," in the middle of a song in the class. And the great thing about teaching toddlers is they don't care if you're out of tune. But, you know, "For you have promised, and I believe, then I will tell of your salvation. I'll tell all men of your salvation and give thanks and glorify." You know, that's what it's about, being women of promise and recognizing what Jesus has done for us and telling what Jesus has done for us. We may say, what can an 84-year-old widow do with a heart full of faith? What can a teenage girl do with a heart full of faith? What can a single woman in her 40s and 50s do who's working hard every day just to get by? What can she do with a heart full of faith? What can a young mother with three small children do with a heart full of faith? What can an uneducated woman do with a heart full of faith? What can a sickly woman do with a heart full of faith? We can all do exactly what the woman with the issue of blood did. We can tell our neighbors and our friends and our family and the folks we work with about Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We can do what Anna did. We can wait patiently for our turn. And then when we have opportunity, we can tell all of those we come into contact with about the redemption provided by Christ. It doesn't matter how old we are, and it doesn't matter our marital status. It doesn't matter our health status or whether we have children or not. We can proclaim to any and everyone who God is and what he has done for us and what he wants to do for others. Okay, Anna was a prophetess. You know, God just told her what to say. And that's true. But even though we aren't prophetesses, God still tells us what to say. Through Anna's example and the example of the woman with the issue of blood, he tells us what to say. The woman with the health issue wasn't a prophetess. God did not tell her the words to say. Her love for Christ and her thankfulness for what he did for her, her belief in him, provided her with the words to say. Were they mighty words? Were they eloquent words? We don't know, and it doesn't matter. Why? Because every one of us can do exactly what she did. Tell others about what Christ has done for us. We all have a story, and everybody's story is important. And when we share that, we can also tell them how he can do the same thing for them. Even if we're not good with words, Luke tells us of some other women and how they help spread the gospel. Turn with me to Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. This passage is talking about when Jesus and his apostles were going to various cities and villages preaching and bringing the gospel, the news of the kingdom. And accompanying Jesus and his apostles were women. Some had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. They have included three that are listed: Mary Magdalene and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Susanna. But look at what it says at the end of verse 3. And many others who were supporting them from their possessions. And many others. These women had money or possessions that they controlled. They used it to support Jesus and his apostles while they were teaching and preaching. These women were important. They don't have names in the scriptures, but I just think this part is just so amazing. There is no verse in the Bible that's just a throwaway verse. It's there. It's written. It's written. God wanted us to know. He wanted us to have this verse. Man might not have thought anything about these women following along, you know, but they played a very crucial role. God wants us to know that there are numerous ways in which we can support the preaching of the gospel. You know, even if we don't have prospects to talk to, or we don't maybe feel comfortable talking to someone about their need for Christ, we can play a role. We can take our possessions and use them to help support an evangelist. We can use our disposable income. We all have a little bit. And use it to glorify God instead of fulfilling our own desires. We can write letters to men that we support, encouraging them to continue this work. We can help a family who's down on their luck. You know, and maybe by our helping them, we can cause them to look for God. We can be God's hands helping somebody in need. We can be women of faith when we share our faith or when we help others who are sharing the faith. Let's be women of faith. There's so many different ways we can do that. There's one other woman I want to look at in Luke, and she teaches us a very important lesson about being a woman of faith. Please turn with me to Luke 21, 1 through 4. And while you're turning there, I'll give you a little background info. Jesus has just finished answering questions from the religious leaders who, big surprise, they're trying to trip him up, catch him in error. And at the end of chapter 20 of Luke, he gives a description of these men. Beware of the scribes who desire to walk in long robes, love greetings in marketplaces, seats in the synagogue, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. That's not a pretty description, is it? Not anything positive there. And he takes that occasion and segues straight into a very striking contrast. He's making a great point. Rich people are putting their gifts into the treasury, and a poor widow putting in two mites. He brings everybody's attention to this, and he says, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all these people have put in gifts out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on. There's no indication that this woman saw Jesus or even heard the discussion about her. She clearly was not trying to impress anyone or call attention to herself. But what she did was truly amazing, and it is a characteristic of a woman of faith. She gave all she had to give. She didn't have much. But in giving all she had to give, she wasn't thinking about herself. She was thinking about God. She wasn't thinking about where her next meal would come from or how she would pay the landlord. She was thinking about others. She was not thinking about drawing attention to herself. She was loving God and giving glory to Him by sacrificing the little that she had. Faith trusts. Faith is reason that has grown courageous. She was courageously giving all. She was taking a risk because she knew that God was going to take care of her. The Bible is filled with women of faith who understand this fundamental concept. Women of faith must empty themselves. Women of faith must sacrifice themselves. Women of faith must give back to God all that they have to give. We can be like Hannah, who dedicated her son Samuel to the Lord. We can be like Eunice and Lois, who passed on genuine faith to their son and grandson Timothy. We can be like Dorcas, who made clothes for the widows, and they were so excited about them and so loving of Dorcas that they went and showed Peter their clothes. Dorcas made these for us. We can be like Dorcas. We can be like Priscilla, who teaches others about Christ. We can be like Anna and spend our life in prayer for others. There are so many things that we can do. When we were having our last session, Lana talked about using our talents. There are so many things that we can do. Each of you are now receiving an envelope. And this is just a little closing little activity for me. I want you to address it. We have this dentist in our congregation, and when you go visit him, he tells you to write your name on the outside and then a little address, and then in 6 months, you get this card in the mail that says it's important for you now to come in and have your checkup done. So we're taking a little, you know, we're stealing that, and we want you to address this envelope to yourself. That's your first little, your name, your address. And please know that nobody's going to read anything that's written inside this envelope. This is for your benefit. We've been talking about women who love, women who need, women of promise, and women of faith. And if there's been anything said today that's caused you to think, I can do better here. I want to grow here. I want to get out of my comfort zone here. I can serve God this way. How can I overcome the obstacles, you know, in my life? What are some things I can do? How can I spread the gospel? How can I constantly be worshiping God? This time right now, in closing, I want you to think about those things. You can read the prompts on the little paper inside, but I want you to be writing a memo to yourself. A letter to yourself, a reminder to yourself, if you will, about what your intentions are, about how you can use information that we've heard today. I mean, the zeroing in thing was just, you know, it's a simple little phrase, right? And we've all kind of thought, I got that in my head now. It's going to work. So write down something that will remind you, that will encourage you, that when you receive this in the mail, and it may be sooner than 6 months, but I will mail these to you. It'll be a little reminder for you to say, hey, how am I doing on that? Am I progressing in my faith? Have I grown in my service to God? Am I grateful? Am I thankful? Have I acknowledged who He is in my life? Have I found some more faith? Have I renewed my zeal? Write down something to be a reminder to you that when you get it, you can say, I've done that, or I still need to. So I'm going to let you take a time to write yourself a note, and there is a basket on that back table. When you leave here today, put it in there. sealed. Nobody's going to read this. You know that part about your faith is sometimes a very private matter between you and God. This is that private part. So I'm done. Y'all complete that, and then we're going to have a... Oh, no. Oh, why don't you do that? Because let them do the time to do this, and then you can do that. Okay, so I'm done. Thank you for your kind attention. And we're going to stand up in a minute to wake up before we go home. And you know, I'll just say this, and then I'll let you write. What? Oh, there's comment sheets to fill out. Y'all can do that if you've got suggestions or anything like that. But do you ever, I know you've been sitting there a long time, but do you ever, when you leave, you just got so much energy and you've just got so much, okay, I can do this, and I'm so excited. I got a new understanding. And I think when you go home tonight and you prepare for the worship tomorrow, perhaps that can spill over to those other members of your family, can share with them. It's been a good thing. Appreciate Jill, and want you guys to know, John and Jill created this study, and also Marianne was a huge part with Kathy and Jill, and we all just worked. Oh yeah, I did a little, but people that you don't see anymore—they're still very important and very active in what happens here. Appreciate everybody, you people sitting there, Jennifer. Good job. I don't know how to there. I got it off. Okay, Lana. So you can put those in the basket when you leave. Give them a bag.